walking with the devil one day, handing me a cigarette and says,
live from the gleaming Skid Row Studios Tower in hazardous and unhealthy downtown Los Angeles. My name is Wyne Russell. I'll be your
host for the next hour as we discuss one of the most important conspiracies of our time. My usual partner in crime is not in the studio with me today. Mr. Nestor Rodriguez is live on assignment in New York City. He should be joining us within the hour on the phone to share his thoughts on the issues we'll be discussing today. Pardon me. In Nestor's absence, I am joined by an alumni of Skid Row Studios. He's a dear friend and talented comedian. He is the co-host of the show that is heard directly before this show. You can hear this funny man each week on Registered Ear Offenders live on SkidRowStudios.com every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Around town, they call him Sal. On the Devils in the Details radio show, we call him Boss. Mr. Sal Rodriguez. What's up, boss man?
Thank you, Wyne, for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. And by the way, even though I am substituting for Nestor Rodriguez, I am Sal Rodriguez. There is no relation other than friendship.
Just friendship. But we have a friendship of many years, and I appreciate you helping with the Devils in the Details show today.
It's my pleasure to be here. I'm excited to be here because there's some controversial stuff we're talking about here.
Yes, sir. You can call into the show at 1-800-893-9562 or watch us live at Ustream.com by searching for Skid Row Studios. Now, today on the Devils in the Details radio show, we're going to be discussing a highly controversial and inflammable topic, the debate that is the President Barack Obama's long-form birth certificate.
Oh, shit.
Conspiracy.
The birth certificate. Now, right away, when people start talking about the birth certificate, people automatically think of the Tea Partiers. Now, is there a birther movement, if you will, that is not associated with the Tea Partiers?
I do not. I believe the Tea Partiers are who initiated the entire question about the birth certificates in general. So they actually pose the entire issue on whether or not the birth certificates are actually authentic. So let's just look at quickly. I'll give you a brief little rundown on who our president is, a little introductory lesson. President Obama.
Yes, tell our listeners who the president is.
I'm going to give you the ABCs. So he was born in August 1961.
He's a Leo.
He's 51 years old. He graduated Occidental College, Columbia University, and Harvard Law School to get his law degree. He wanted to run for the mayor of Chicago. He wrote a book, Dreams from My Father, The Story of Race and Inheritance, published in 1995. He was preparing to launch his political career, and that book was in preparation for that political career. He won the Senate seat from January 8th to 1997. He won the Senate seat on January 8th, 1997 to November 4th, 2004. He wrote The Audacity of Hope in July 15th, 2008, won the presidency, of course, in 2008 and 2012. So hopefully I read that correctly. Born in Honolulu, Hawaii, where he was president of the Harvard Law Review. He was a community organizer in Chicago before earning his law degree. He served three terms representing the 13th district in the Illinois Senate. And of course, he's now our president. And funny thing about Obama, he got a nose job.
Really?
How do you feel about that?
How do I feel?
I think he looks a lot better.
I feel cheated. I didn't know that he had a nose job.
He had a nose job.
When? When? And why? And why don't they talk about this on Vanity Fair?
At some point, they felt they needed to change his appearance for the voters to make him more attractive, I imagine. I don't think anything was wrong with his looks, but he had some sort of physical altercations to his nose.
And are we meant to believe that is the thinning of his nose?
I don't know what was done, but if you look at the pictures, possibly some sort of thinning.
Maybe he had a KRS-1-like nose before?
I don't know. I really don't know. So we understand a little bit about Obama, and we know that he's our president. But why the issue with the birth certificates? So why is the question even being posed to the president of the United States that his birth certificate may in fact be fraudulent or not authentic? So do you have any ideas why the American people or the TPR partiers, as you put it, question the authenticity of the birth certificate?
Well, I think My knee-jerk reaction is because he's the only sitting president or the only president ever who has a foreign-born father. That we do know. Is that correct? Do any of the other presidents have foreign-born fathers?
No. So that is absolutely the question initially. So it was from he wrote a book Dreams from My Father. Mm-hmm. And this book was written to explain his history in about his life, about his Kenyan father and family. And I believe that it raised certain questions on his whether he was able to become president via Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. So,
which I don't believe in, by the way.
Well, so
like my opinion means anything. But I don't think that just because you're not born in the United States, let's say you're born somewhere else, they bring you over here a week later, then you're not qualified to be president. Why not?
Well, I personally agree with you, and I feel that there are many qualified people of any race, religion, or citizenship that could potentially be a good American president. But we got to stick with the laws. So the whole conspiracy issue around the birth certificate was approached by a Tea Party group, and they questioned it and they brought it to the courts, and they said, we want to see proof that Barack Obama is a U.S. citizen and eligible to be the U.S. president.
So here's my question, though, real quick right off that, is has that question been given to any other president prior to Barack Obama?
I don't believe there was, as you stated before, there was any question on whether the citizenship of the president was an issue based on who their parents are.
Mm-hmm.
So a man by the name of Jim Garrity of the conservative website National Review Online, he actually sparked further speculation June 9th in 2008 when he asked that Obama release his birth certificate. So people were actually asking him directly to provide the documents. And they actually went through court cases to pressure his lawyers into providing those documents from the state of Hawaii. So do you think it's questionable that a president wouldn't just be willing or you know, free and truthful and just provide the documents without any requests? Why should these documents even be requested?
Well, I think the question is this something he has to do by law? Does he have to legally provide these documents? Is that a part? You know how every term the nominees release their tax returns? And sure. Apparently they're supposed to do that?
Sure.
Okay, so do the presidents or the nominees have to provide birth certificates to people?
That's an excellent question. And the obvious answer would be yes. At some point during that process, whether it's filling out your forms for your financial institutions that surround your campaign via bank accounts or whatever it is, it seems to make sense that at some point you're going to have to provide a birth certificate or a Social Security card.
But I'm sure that Barack Obama, like most of us, has a passport. You have to provide a birth certificate to receive a passport. Nobody anywhere asks to see your birth certificate. They ask to see your identification, either a state-issued ID, or they ask to see your passport, implying you needed your birth certificate to get those items.
Okay.
Nobody asks anybody to see anybody's birth certificate. I have you ever been asked to see your birth certificate?
I have.
You have?
For employment purposes.
Really? So they did not accept your state-issued ID?
They requested both.
Really?
Actually. So I provided both, and we proceeded with the job.
I've only, since I came of the age where we receive identification, which I believe was 15 or 16, I started getting a state-issued ID. From that point on, and then once I got my passport in my 20s, I've never been asked to show my birth certificate, only my state-issued ID and or my passport.
Interesting.
So then would the question be then, if a president were to just merely be asked for his passport, that would be sufficient?
I don't believe so, because he's got his finger on the button. So in my opinion, that person holds the highest security clearances in all the world. He's in control of the most powerful militaries in the world. I would hold that employee, if we can call him an employee of the American people,
officially,
to
sure.
a higher level of scrutiny
and clearance,
to the point that he had his potential finger on the button.
Yes.
So it just it seems to make sense that we would require that or request that from somebody like our president.
Mm-hmm.
So if we jump right into, so we know kind of why it was requested. So whether the main inspiration behind these people's requests for Obama was racism or whatever the catalyst seemed to be to bring these court cases and to put the fire under Obama to provide the birth certificate. Only one law enforcement official in the country actually paid attention to the information, took the requests from a local group of people within his community, and he actually created an investigation into the birth certificate, the long form birth certificate that was released.
Now, that's the posse.
Right. So let me give you a quick history of how it actually went down. So so the birth certificate was requested multiple times, and Barack Obama's administration provided what was called a short form birth certificate.
And now, what the hell is that? I only know about it. You either have a birth certificate or you don't. What's a short form and long form?
I believe it's called an abstract, or it's just basic information that you pretty much isn't an official document, just basic information with the information regarding the birth. So all the information, the registration information on the birth. So there are certain elements of the birth certificate, but it isn't the document that is signed, that is stamped, and that is put into archives through microfilm into hospital records and through the Department of Hawaii. So it's very different, because what we get on the long form birth certificate are signatures, the mother and father's name, their occupation, and all of that great information, the information that, you know, determines who we are. So the saga went on to the short form birth certificate didn't satisfy the masses or the requesters of that information. So they said, well, we want the long form. So then we got into the whole discussion of providing the long form birth certificate, which is the one I just described. And then we got into the sensationalists like Donald Trump, who tried to jump on center stage and get some attention from it, get a little publicity and request it publicly, you know. And so that was a whole nother part of it that we don't even have to worry about. But what it forced Obama to do was to go back to the state of Hawaii, find that the original long form birth certificate on a piece of microfilm, and then print that out and put that or post that on whitehouse.gov, which is obviously, you know, our president's website for our White House.
Now, I'm curious why he didn't have a copy of his own birth certificate. Don't we all have copies of our own birth certificates?
It's a good question.
I have a copy of my own original birth certificate.
The original one, or did you ever have to apply for a duplicate?
I believe I have a... You know what? Now that you mention it, I believe I have a copy of the original.
Well, I think that...
So
I think
who has the original? The hospital?
The hospital has an original... Depending on when you were born, what era you were born in, the hospital keeps records. That's absolutely correct. Mm. And in these records, they have a microfilm or microfiche, I guess it's a title. I don't really know what that means, but it's microfilm or various elements of film that they put into readers, and they actually take photographs of the documents on there and they print them out. Mm-hmm. And then that's what they provide for records that are from that era.
Now that you mentioned, I believe I do have an official notarized stamped copy of my birth certificate, which now leads me to question where my original one is.
Interesting.
Yeah. Where's my birth certificate?
I don't believe I have my original or the copy. So I am in the same state as Obama, but a very interesting question on why he wouldn't just have it, or why he wouldn't just be willing to provide it, without any hesitation. So it went on and on, and his lawyers ended up contacting the Department of Health in Hawaii to receive this long form birth certificate. And when they released the birth certificate on whitehouse.gov, they actually released the documents, the requesting documents for the birth certificate. And it's quite interesting because the documents actually state, the signature of the document states that she swears that the document the Department of Health in Hawaii gave her is the document that they put on the White House website. So she actually signed her name in swearing to the fact, or, you know, promising to the fact that it is indeed unaltered.
So, but she testifies that she merely scanned it. She scanned it and then sent it, right?
The story goes, she took it from, they went into the records, the microfilm that I just tried to describe, that they took the birth, that Obama's birth certificate was on that microfilm, that they found it, located it, took a picture of it, put it in an envelope, and provided it to the attorneys for President Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. So that's the story. And then allegedly that they took that document in that envelope and scanned it into a scanner and then uploaded it onto the whitehouse.gov website. Now, that was the only procedures that we were told that occurred to that document. So that's what we know.
Nobody would accept a legal document sent in that fashion. Nobody would. I know that. You know, a lot of places I offer to, they say, can you fax us? And I say, no, can I just scan it and send it to you? And a lot of places say, no, no, you need to send a fax because of the opportunity for me to forge a document via scanning.
Right.
So really, I don't understand why they went about it this way. Why would they, who would accept a scanned document? I don't think a court would accept that.
Interesting enough, the document was actually provided electronically to President Barack Obama's lawyers. And it was provided electronically because of who he was. And so if you went to request this from the Department of Health in Hawaii, they wouldn't have given you an electronic version of their document. Mm-hmm. They'd give you a paper version.
And it would have a stamp on it, which is, I think, what I have, a little like sort of notarized copy.
Right. So they kind of went around the rules to mm-hmm. do this for President Barack Obama, kind of creating the whole facade of, you know, it being legitimate. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the only investigator who started an investigation into this. He is Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And he's
a controversial figure.
I think everybody knows Sheriff Joe.
Sure.
He is the Maricopa County Sheriff in Arizona. He is a 50-year veteran of the police enforcement, you know, world. 20 years as sheriff in Maricopa County. And he's controversial for many things. But one of the things he's done that I like Sheriff Joe for was looking into this birth certificate. And what he did was he created a cold case posse to investigate this birth certificate.
I find it interesting that they use the word posse.
Posse's good. That's old school, man. That's old-fashioned.
That's cowboy. That's
sheriff
cowboy stuff
right there. That's right. So let's listen to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, in his own words, describe the events or describe the... This is at a press conference where Mr. Arpaio is going to describe his concerns with the document.
Good afternoon. You know, in August last year, a large group of citizens came to my office from the Surprise Arizona Tea Party, met with me, asked if I would investigate the controversy surrounding President Obama's birth certificate and his ability to serve as the President of the United States. This group expressed displeasure that no law enforcement agency in the country has ever gone on record indicating that they had either looked into this situation or were willing to do so. Good afternoon.
Pardon me. So, Sheriff Joe, what he's telling you there is there's no other police agency in the world that's going to investigate this or look at this in America, anywhere for that matter. So he was the only one that took it upon himself to form a cold case posse, which is a posse of investigators that is not paid for by tax dollars. They're volunteers to investigate the authenticity of this document. And what they did was they did it forensically. So the Sheriff Joe Arpaio's cold case posse found three elements to their investigation. We're going to talk about two because we don't have the time to talk about the third. But the first element of the Sheriff Joe Arpaio investigation that's almost a smoking gun or directly is a smoking gun is the issue about layers when you scan a document. So when the document was released on the WhiteHouse.gov website, the first thing that everybody did was download the document and put it into a program like Adobe Illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And so Adobe Illustrator is a program for layout and graphics, a printing program. So when you put the document into Adobe Illustrator, it explodes into layers. And these layers can be manipulated, moved around, turned on and off. And in various ways, you can manipulate the document.
In other words, whatever was constructed can now be deconstructed.
Right, and you can change things. So it doesn't make sense that you should be able to do that with a document that has just been scanned and mm-hmm. placed on the web. So what they did was they looked into these layers and whether these layers were, proof that there was tampering involved in the document.
Mm-hmm.
And their outcome was, in fact, that there was tampering, and they found it in these layers. And the layers are very interesting. The way the layers are supposed to look in a document of this type, when you scan a document, you can what's called optimize a document. Okay, so when you scan a document, you can make the resolution better. You can make it
have the highest amount of pixels.
Right. So, and in optimizing a document, you do create these layers. Okay, so when the conspiracy people got a hold of that document, they put it into Illustrator, they got the layers, and they said, okay, well, it's fake. Well, Sheriff Joe's posse went a step further. They're forensic, actual police investigators. There were 600 separate forensic tests done on the document using all forms of scanning, optimizing, compression, various softwares, and they came up with layers in their test or control documents. And I'll give you the facts. There's in Obama's PDF, there's 8 1-bit layers and 1 8-bit color background. Okay. In a correct scan, even if optimized, should be 1 1-bit layer and multiple 8-bit background layers. Now, all of that means, you know, makes my head spin, all the bits and the layers. But what that proves is tampering.
Why would they, okay, if they got computer forensic analysts to study this document, why didn't they, if this was a forgery, mm-hmm. why didn't they have computer forensic guys do it properly so that it could not be detected by other computer experts?
That's a good question.
Who did they hire to do this?
That's the amazement of this whole conspiracy. I mean, that is the question, is why they would provide a document in this form.
I mean, this sounds like something that I would have done, not being a computer expert, have a rudimentary knowledge of basic softwares. I put a document together in Adobe Photoshop and then spit it out and say, here it is, this is legit, and someone's going to debunk it. Why would they hire a guy like me instead of the some of the top guys in the world to foolproof your whole plot?
I have a feeling when you're, and this is just my opinion, but when you're doing something like this, you can't just hire out for it. You can't just, you know, put an ad in the newspaper. So I think that this has to be very compartmentalized. It has to be a small group that had their hands or knowledge on something of this magnitude. So that would be whoever's the most talented at doing it. You know, I don't know. I would just be guessing, but you're right. That is the point, is why is this document so, you know, amateur, you know, at best in its construction. So Sheriff Joe goes on to find issues with the layers, which is amazing. So that proves tampering. So if you provided a document with those errors, the bit errors that I just described, your document would be rejected by any judge after that forensic scrutiny.
True, okay? But you use the word tampering. Now, tampering doesn't automatically imply or mean fake or forgery. It just means altered.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is exactly correct. There are elements of the birth certificate that are correct, that are authentic.
Okay, so they're not saying the whole thing is bogus.
No, but there are elements that have many questions, and we can't go through all of those today. I recommend you do some investigation on this birth certificate. If this is interesting to you or you have had questions, check this stuff out.
Well, the thing I find the most interesting about this, and I'm sure we're going to get into this, is that if this is a fake birth certificate, it's not to conceal a birth in Kenya. That's not what it's about.
Right.
I find interesting what we're going to talk about today, I believe.
That's right.
Is most interesting as to why they would fake a birth certificate not having to do with country of origin.
Right. And that is the crux of the second part of the Sheriff Joe investigation. And that is the coding or the numerical coding on the actual document itself. So when you look at President Barack Obama's birth certificate, there are codes in the boxes or handwritten pencil codes. And you look at the little numbers and you wonder what those numbers mean. And the investigators in the Cold Case Posse wondered that as well. So they did some research or did some investigatory work into what these numbers and coding meant. So what they found was that number 9 or the number, the number 9 coded on a document of this era would mean that the box was left blank. So when you look at Obama's birth certificate, you see 9s in all the father's boxes.
By the way, I'm looking at a picture of young Barack and looking at a picture of what appears to be current Barack.
Nice.
And you can see it does appear that either he had a broken nose when he was young.
See?
or that he had probably had a nose job, I would say, for the purposes of thinning out his nose, or as one would say, to anglicize one's nose.
Better or worse than before?
Well, his nose is not as wide now as it appears in these younger pictures. It looks like he's maybe in his early 20s here, late teens. Hmm. And I would say his nose does look different, yes.
Very interesting. Now, the codes are key to the investigation, the cold case posse investigation, because it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the boxes for his father were left blank. And the way he actually found that information was he found and interviewed the signature of this document, the registrar, the person who actually signed on the very bottom. People didn't know what that signature was or what it said. They thought it was some sort of a joke or a play on words. Like, they thought it said ukulele because it was from Hawaii, but it isn't. It was actually Verna K. Lee. Instead of UK Lee, it was Verna K. Lee. She's 95 years old now, and they interviewed her and asked her what that nine meant and what were the procedures when they gathered up these birth certificates. So she would say they would get them in batches, they'd put them in a pile. It was her job to sit and go through them, stamp them, code the boxes based on the information provided in the boxes, and put them in the records for the archives. She didn't remember Barack Obama specifically, nor there was no reason for her to, but she did verify that the nines meant the boxes were blank. The cold case posse also verified with the state health department in Hawaii that during that time, nine did mean the boxes were blank. So why does Obama's birth certificate have nine still showing, the amateur job? Why wouldn't they remove the nines? And why do they have information in those spaces?
So nine to imply father unknown.
Father unknown. That's correct, man.
And you say that as I'm looking at pictures of, we've got four pictures of Frank Marshall Davis, Barack Obama, Ann Dunham, and Barack Obama Sr.
Right.
And you don't have to be a detective to guess which one is Barack's father, you would say he looks more like Frank Marshall Davis than he does Barack Obama Sr. In fact, he doesn't really bear much or any resemblance to Barack Obama Sr. And I will also add that his mother was a sexy hottie.
Well, she certainly wasn't unattractive by any measure.
She did modeling.
Yes.
Yeah, risque.
Risque. That is the next part of the entire long-form birth certificate conspiracy.
And we didn't know that. We in the public didn't know. Did we know? Okay, Ann Dunham is Barack Obama's mother.
Ann Dunham, Stanley Ann Dunham was Barack Obama's mother, correct?
Okay, and there are pictures of her from the 40s or 50s in very risque poses, a la Betty Page or even the next level, nude.
That is correct. A filmmaker by the name of Joel Gilbert, he created a movie, did some investigatory work on the birth certificate issue, and he created a movie entitled Dreams from My Real Father. And it's a play on Barack's book, Dreams from My Father. This is Dreams from My Real Father. And what he did was he took the Sheriff Joe investigation, the forensical analysis of the document, one step further. And what he did was he took it to the why would the father's box be empty? So Joe Gilbert is a bit of a writer and an artist. So he takes a lot of license in the information and how he kind of puts it all together. But that's what we're going to report on today is what he found. And the pictures that you describe is part of that Joel Gilbert film presentation and book. So Mr. Gilbert describes a man by the name of Frank Marshall Davis as being in the same time and place as Barack Obama's mother at the time of Barack Obama's conception. And how does Joel Gilbert make that connection in time? Is by photographs taken by Frank Marshall Davis allegedly, Barack Obama certainly doesn't admit to these photographs being his mother. So allegedly his mother in various risque adult poses. Frank Marshall Davis was a photographer and he would sell these photographs to men's magazines. So she was actually published somewhere naked.
Yeah.
So he actually blurs them out in the film. So you don't see any of the nudity.
Sure. And the only images we've ever been shown by any of the networks or websites is Barack Obama's mother as an old lady. That's all we ever see.
Right. Well, we see her younger, but we definitely don't see her in any precarious situations.
No, like and that would be big news if the president's mother posed naked.
Definitely. And it is big news. Not in the term that you can judge Barack Obama.
No. I don't mean. But, I mean, I just think it's kind of, you know, it's scandalous. I'm not saying, look, my mom posed nude. When I was a kid, I found a picture of my mother nude. It freaked me out.
Do you still have it?
I still look at it.
Nice. So what it really does, the important thing about Frank Marshall Davis is the photographs were key. So that puts Stanley Ann Dunham allegedly in his home in sexual situations, I guess you'd say, during the time of Barack Obama's conception.
Yeah, which would be December of, because he was born in August, as I was. And it'll be 9 months early, it'll be in December. So sometime around the holidays.
Crazy. So if what Joel Gilbert is reporting to be true, that is pretty damning for the whole Kenyan-born theory. Now,
So then the argument here is that the birth certificate was not to hide a Kenyan father, but to hide who his father, or it's not to prove citizenship or disprove citizenship. It's to lie about who the father was.
Right. So that's where we get at the end of this process on this show today. That's what I assume, is that it wasn't necessarily to hide the fact that he was born in another country, Kenya, but it was to hide who his real father was. And we know that by the box allegedly being left blank.
And now, why hide who his real father was?
That is a very good question. And that's the question I would like to know is why. So why?
Frank Marshall Davis is American born?
Frank Marshall Davis, American born. He was, if he's attempting to hide who Frank Marshall Davis is, which obviously he might be. This was a gentleman who was a person who did a lot of work like Obama. He was a community organizer. He did many things in the communist era back in the early days.
Various web resources refer to him as a communist.
Well, he wrote for communist or red papers, mm-hmm. and he was, I believe he was a card-carrying member of the American Communist Party. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that all entails. His partnership in that, but
that was controversial at that time.
He was certainly a part of that.
Sure, the whole McCarthy era and all that.
Right. So, Frank Marshall Davis. So, if Obama's hiding from that or from Frank Marshall Davis's past, it's definitely because of the communist allegations.
Well, you say Obama hiding. All Obama would be doing would be just continuing a plot that occurred before he was even born. He would be or is just perpetuating a lie as opposed to creating the lie.
Right. It could be either way. It depends on how you want to look at it. It depends on where you want to say Barack Obama's knowledge of the subject is. Did he ever find his birth certificate? Did he know the father's name was off? Mm-hmm. Did he know it was blank? Yeah. What level of knowledge did he have in any of this? Maybe he assumes that Barack Hussein Obama the first is his father, and he never saw the birth certificate. So the birth certificate on the website to him could certainly be authentic in his mind. Mm-hmm. So we're certainly not saying he has any involvement, but if he does, what level? And, how much is he, willing to push the issue? And if they ever take it to a judicial review, it's not going to be good for President Barack Obama, but nobody will look at it. So it's not going to really ever hit that judicial level of being brought to a court. What do you think about that? Do you think that the American people could take a president down if this was a false document?
Well, that's it brings to mind the whole baseball trials, the Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and all that. So didn't they take away some of their home runs? Didn't they change the record books when they were believed to have used steroids? So I don't know. I thought that they were. I know that they. Well, look. For example, they took Lance Armstrong's Tour de France wins.
Yes.
They took his titles. Seven wins.
Good.
They took them. Now,
you can't enhance yourself or manipulate yourself to be better than the others.
So what if it were found that Barack Obama were found to not only know about the certificate but to perpetuate the lie? What would that mean? He gets impeached, he gets taken down, he gets completely discredited. Does he automatically get thrown out of the White House? How would that work?
I think what he's most worried about now is his legacy. So now that he's in his second term, he doesn't have the pressure of having to be reelected, and he never really has to worry about running for any more public offices.
And I've read that he is now rich. I mean, I read this article about what he's done with his money over the years. He made the money here, and what he's done, he's rolled it, and he's rolled, and he's done made wise decisions. So now he and his family will be taken care of for life, even in spite of the presidential pension.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know if there's any ex-president that's poor. I haven't heard of one of them yet. So what he be protecting and why he continues this ruse, would be for his legacy and to protect the whole image and his whole career. That is amazing that a man that rose from nothing to be the president. Now, it's something to protect. It's your credibility. It's who you are as a human being. It's how people look at your children. It's everything in life, what people think about you. So if he goes back now and says, look, that certainly wasn't, my, birth certificate, or that certainly isn't my father. Now I understand the correct, history of it all and sets it all straight. Well, that makes two books null and void.
So. But meanwhile, would it not satisfy the birthers? The birthers would say, oh, your father's not Barack Obama Sr. from Kenya. It's American-born Frank Marshall Davis. Well, there goes our whole investigation. You are an American.
Right. And I think that does satisfy the birth issue quite a bit. So I feel that if you look at it as a whole, and if all he's trying to do is hide who his father is, then Obama is American-born from two American citizens. So the birther issue is off the table as far as we're concerned, as far as I'm concerned. What is concerned is the credibility, is why. Why'd you let it get to this point? Why didn't you just provide the truthful information from the beginning? I mean, from the very beginning of your political career, tell the story of you being Frank Marshall Davis's son and let the American people judge for themselves.
Well, I would imagine it has to do with his mother. I would imagine that every family has their secrets. Every family has their skeletons. Don't tell, don't tell. Whether it be molestation or paperwork or whatever it is. In this instance, making a deal with his mother, probably as a little boy, the mother saying, we must never let it be publicly known who your real father is.
Right.
At which time he makes an agreement with his mother. And then to his dying day, will probably try to keep that promise.
Well, one of Joe Gilbert's interesting aspersions that in the book is that, or in the film, is that he assumes or he connects the Barack Hussein Obama the first, or Obama's father. He connects him to Obama's grandfather, who actually took care of Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And he connects
Barack Obama Sr.'s father.
Right. So okay. Barack the first.
Got it.
From Kenya. He connects him to Barack's grandfather here in Hawaii through business connections.
I wonder why. How come Barack Obama's not a Barack Obama Jr.?
That's a good question, because we have a Barack Obama Sr. but not a Barack Obama Jr.
Yeah.
That's one of the questions on why he's the, why isn't he the, why is he the second, not junior? I don't know. What do you think about that? You're a junior, right?
No, I'm not a junior. My father's name is Salvador Rodriguez, and my name is Guillermo Salvador Rodriguez, which is on my birth certificate. But after today's show, I don't even know what the truth is anymore. Maybe my birth certificate has been altered and tainted.
Well, you better check the records, that's for sure.
You think
so,
Nick?
Who knows, man? Who knows? Yeah, who knows really the true story?
I don't know who I am anymore.
And everyone.
So yeah. So what he assumed is that the leads us to believe is that Obama's grandfather made a deal with this Barack Hussein the first to claim that he is the father of this child. It's an illegitimate child, Frank Marshall Davis's child, in exchange for changing his visa to a student permit visa, or altering his visa so he can study here in America. So he had something to gain in the education world by doing what he did. And he ended up going to Harvard at the very end of his life. And his
education and we do all know, apparently not having much of a relationship with Barack Jr., the president, he kind of discarded him. Or he didn't have an emotional attachment to him, which would make sense.
It didn't seem he did. And even in the books, that Barack Obama's books, it certainly doesn't seem that there was much connection at all. I mean, there was a visit when he was, I believe, 10 years old, and it was to get him into a school. So he needed a father to show up to and register into a prestigious reformatory school, like one of these, prep schools.
Yeah, prep school.
That's what I was looking for. And so he needed a father. So Birik, so the grandfather then contacts Hussein the first, you know, Birik Hussein the first. I keep saying Birik Hussein, but it's Barak's father,
yes.
The Kenyan born, and brought him back into his life. And this was the meeting that President Obama speaks about in his book. So it's only one time in his life that he recollects this man. And that's very interesting. I mean, that is very telling. Why?
But then what was the connection then between Barack Obama the first and Ann Dunham and her family? I mean, how do they get a guy to agree to have his son pose as the father? First of all, how did they meet Barack Obama the first?
Again, who knows? But Joe Gilbert states that they were business partners. And the wording is interesting. And who knows if he can back the wording up. But he says that he was under his supervision. So potentially an employee. Obama's grandfather was allegedly a man that was in the furniture business. So he was he was allegedly in the CIA. So Gilbert paints him as a CIA man moving around the world. And obviously with all of these intelligence ties that can do things for people like Barack Obama the first. So it all makes a lot of sense when you see the end result of his Kenyan-born father, you know, ending up in Harvard. You know, in his early life, he needed a, you know, visa just to continue studying where he was in Hawaii. So his life advanced. People's life advance when people do, you know, people do bad things and make deals. So
sure.
it's evident that something possibly occurred at that time. So
now, but
so what do you think?
Well, what I wonder is what did Ann Dunham have to do with all this, aside from the birth, of course? How did any of this benefit her, or what was her plan?
Well, what he states is that she was upset that her father moved her to Hawaii. So she was unhappy with that. So she was maladjusted and she started acting out.
Mm-hmm.
And she started ditching school and going over and visiting this Frank Marshall Davis. That's mm-hmm. the time period where he puts it all together.
Okay.
So that's what he claims. You know, it all kind of makes sense. The Sheriff Joe certainly has the birth certificate forensically in the layers and in the coding. We know that it has been altered, or, you know, to a certain point. You know, why? And what does our president know, potentially anything? I mean, what's to come of it? Will there ever be an investigation into this? Or do people like me just talk about this on radio shows and nothing is ever done? What do you think?
Well, to me, this is, if it were to ever be proven or even publicly acknowledged that there is potential for Frank Marshall Davis to be Barack Obama's real father, this could be the biggest shock on a paternal scale since we found out who Harry Potter's real father is right. In the last Harry Potter movie.
That's right. It could be huge. I mean, this could be big. As big as if 9/11 was reinvestigated. I mean, it's just as big. I mean, it's monumental. So when you look at all of the information in these two investigations compiled, you get a pretty clear picture of what potentially occurred.
I do have enough technological knowledge to understand how the scan document could have been tampered with, and how once you run it into this program, how certain things should not be there if it were just a regular scan document versus if it were a digitally created document that was then sent.
Right.
I definitely can grasp that. So that is somewhat compelling. I would have to be a computer expert to see for myself.
Right.
But just the idea totally makes sense. It does. The argument does make sense.
Right.
As to whether or not it's the truth and is proof versus evidence. I've heard it said evidence is not proof. So I'd be curious to what the evidence is or the proof.
I think we have a caller. I believe Nestor is calling in.
Is that live Nestor?
From New York City. He's on assignment for the Devils in the Details. Nestor, are you there?
Yo.
Nestor, what's up, man?
I'm chilling. Hold on a second.
Okay, man, where are you?
Is it true Nestor will be on assignment at the World Trade Center site?
He's trying to do some street work for us.
No, I'm not on the World Trade Center site. I'm in Queens. I just got off the. I just had a big fat cheeseburger over here.
Nice.
Is there a conspiracy regarding cheeseburgers?
Definitely.
No, but there's a conspiracy about where the fuck the people are. It's so cold out here. Nobody's out on the street.
Hey, so Nestor, we're talking about the Obama birth certificate conspiracy today, man. Where do you weigh in on that issue? What do you think? Is it possible that the document has been altered, or is it legit the way he provides it? And is everything okay with President Obama's birth certificate? What do you think?
You know, I've been listening to the show. First of all, it sounds good, Sal. You sound very good. You guys sound very good.
Thank you.
I don't know. I was looking at all the videos last night, and I was looking at, you know, the sheriff showing the documents and all that other stuff. I think, you know what, anything could be altered. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the same way that they're accusing Obama's birth certificate to be altered, the people who are accusing him could alter it just for show. You know, who's to say what's what?
A conspiracy within a conspiracy.
That's a good point.
That's interesting.
You know, as we talked about last week, with the Northwoods document, anything could be manipulated, you know,
right.
You know, to prove somebody's point or to accuse somebody or whatever. My whole thing is, what's the point? You know, listening to you, you're talking about the real issue here is, you know, to hide who his real father is, right?
That's right. That's what we assume is the crux of the investigation.
Right, but the way the media portrayed it, and Donald Trump and all these people, they were accusing him of not being born in the United States.
Right,
which is to me that whole thing there is ludicrous. You know,
right.
I can't even get a fucking college degree without having to prove that I was born in the United States. I can't even get into college without showing them my vaccination fucking reports.
Right,
there's no way that you could get to that point in your life and be president without the basic shit being cleared. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, once you say to an individual, let me see your passport, the passport represents what they had to show to get the passport.
Correct. Right. Correct. Correct. The passport, at that point, represents all of the prior criteria to fucking prove that you are who you are. And that's it. Case closed. So, I mean,
Nestor, why do you think they didn't provide it? Why do you think he wouldn't voluntarily just provide it? Why do you think they had to go to the lawyers and the courts to get the information?
Why do I think that Obama didn't provide the birth certificate?
Right.
Because maybe he didn't want to engage in people's retarded shit. I would have told him, go fuck off. That's what I would have said.
Right. Now, do you feel that
if you were the president,
go ahead.
If I was President Obama, I'll say, I'll show you my black cock. But you're going to have to find my fucking birth certificate.
Don't you feel that the president should be responsible to show a document like a birth certificate to hold the office?
I think they would have to make a constitutional amendment. If they were to make a constitutional amendment that shows that every president has to provide that, I think that could be a different story.
Right.
No. Look. You know what the issue here is? The real issue here is that the majority of the, you know, right-wing rich motherfuckers, they just can't buy that a black man in America could get here on his own accord. That's the bottom line. Okay.
All right. So you feel that it's racially motivated, the attack or the look into the birth certificate?
Look. I was looking at all the comments on YouTube. There's so much racial bullshit.
Right.
You know, that people post, and it's all fear-based. You know what I mean? All fear-based. And, I mean, the best of it all was Trump. You know, here's Trump, who's a multi-gazillionaire, who hasn't contributed a fucking thing to our culture other than fucking Celebrity Apprentice, and he's making these accusations as if he has the right, you know?
Right. Well, we don't care about Donald Trump on this show.
I think
he's a big blow.
Anybody has a right to make an accusation.
Sure. Everyone has an opinion.
And then
everybody has a right to make an accusation. Absolutely. But to go on a fucking full-blown crusade, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
A person like Donald Trump just wants attention. Right. So, but Nestor, so overall, so the motivation to request President Barack Obama's birth certificate. Okay, so it's based on race, in your opinion, that
yeah.
that was based on race. But with what Sheriff Joe Arpaio found, it certainly digs a little deeper than just an issue of being racist. What he found was forensically the document had been tampered with. How do you feel about that?
Right, right. Well, let me ask you this. What prompted him to look into his birth certificate in the first place?
A group of constituents from his county requested him look into the document.
But for what? I've never heard of anybody requesting any official's birth certificate. No one in the history of fucking the United States presidency of America. Why all of a sudden are we so hell-bent on, finding out his birth certificate and everything? Why? That's what I'd like to know.
I think that would be two different questions.
Before I would even go further.
The first question would be why, which we would be interested in having an answer as to why, but the second answer or response I think would be impertinent. It would be impertinent as to why someone starts an investigation. What's important is the evidence that is found in the investigation.
That's a very good point. It's not important why crimes happen or why investigations occur, but what is found at the end result. But Nestor, I appreciate all your comments. Do you have anything to share? What's going on out there, man? What's going on? Give me some information about New York. How's the weather?
Well, I just got here. The weather's kind of chilly. I'm just walking around a working-class neighborhood in Queens. No one's out. The Christmas trees are on, which is pretty interesting. I thought that was pretty cool.
Is it snowing?
No, it's not snowing.
No snow
hopefully it'll snow before I go back to L.A.
Well, Nestor, I appreciate you calling in. You're going to be back. Are you going to be back next week, my friend, or are you going to still be out there on assignment for us doing some interview work there at 9/11 or
at
Ground Zero?
I'm probably going to do some interview work by next week. I'm not going to be back to L.A. until after January 1st.
No, I'm going to be sitting in your seat. I'll be sitting in your seat, Nestor, for next week, and then Wyme will be on his own on the 28th, and then you're back after that.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah, great.
All right, Nestor, thank you so much for calling in. If you want to hang around and hang out for the following comments or the closing comments, I have a little letter I'd like to read to the president.
Go ahead.
Simple thoughts and comments. So just hold tight, and let's see if I can get through this sanely here. So my message to the president is simple. He has the perfect life. When you look at Obama's life from the outside, you see two Harvard-educated lawyers, two amazing and intelligent children, and the plight and growth of a man into the president of the United States of America. I feel with all of your life's accomplishments, who your father really is irrelevant to the ability of real change that you are able to accomplish. If you would just look at the information provided, these investigations could possibly put to rest any doubts if you have yourself have ever had any. Treat this information, no matter how inconsequential or offensive, as a potential glimpse into your possible family's heritage. Give yourself and the American people a chance to understand who you as a man may really be. We as Americans will determine your character on the content of your creation and not the content of your creator. Sal, your thoughts.
That was good, man. I can't follow that.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I can't follow that.
Well, that's how I feel about it, my friend, is that I don't take this issue from a racial stance at all. I am the most non-racist person ever, and when you learn to love me, you will know that. But it is certainly not a racial issue for me, my friend.
No, that's true. You're a truth seeker.
That is right. We are truth seekers on the Devils in the Details radio show. But you know what? I want to thank Sal for joining us today. I had a lot of fun, man. Thank you for sitting in. That was a hard topic for me. Kind of stumbled. You know, I'm jittery. I got my nerves.
It's my pleasure to be here, Wyme. Thank you, and thank you, Nestor, for allowing me to fill your seat here.
You didn't sound like you were shaky. I've been listening to the whole program, and it sounded very, very intelligent and very well put together. So it was great. It was interesting to hear it, and rather not than be there.
Thank you, Nestor.
Participating. And Sal, you sounded great, man.
Thanks, man. I'd like to invite any listeners to listen to me every Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on SkidRowStudios.com as I co-host with Chris Z the show Registered Ear Offenders, Fridays at 1.
Please like The Devils in the Details on Facebook. Please share your thoughts and comments with us, and I promise to respond to each and every one.
Wow.
But last but never least, thank you to the ever-vigilant Jeremy Hansen and Nicholas Chacon for their dubious efforts in the booth. Thanks, guys. Couldn't do it without you. I guess that's all we got, man. That's all we got today. Nothing much more. Sal, so I'll see you next week.
I will be here next week.
And we will be discussing Mayan Magics, information about the Mayans from MayanMagics.com with Mr. With Mr. Ian Lundgold. Yeah, it's great information. Nice. That is on 12/21/12. So that will potentially be the last day of the Earth. Sal, what do you think, man?
Well, that's going to be at 2 p.m. It's going to be at 2 p.m. Pacific time.
2 p.m. to 3 p.m. The Devil's in the Details radio show on skidrowstudios.com from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please join us. It was a pleasure to share this information with you today. I guess that's it. So for Wyme Russell, Sal Rodriguez, and Nestor Rodriguez, be here next week.
We out.
Peace. Come on, Nestor. Tell him goodbye, man.
Yo, good night. Goodbye. Good afternoon. Stay warm. Get an umbrella. I heard it's going to rain in Los Angeles. Seek the truth.
All right, man. Keep it safe and, bring us back some good information, man.
Okay, buddy. Take care.